From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Catholic Relief Services, whose humanitarian aid stretches across the globe, was founded to help the dispossessed after World War II. With a new podcast, CRS is highlighting some of the colorful characters and memorable events that make up its history. We meet CRS producer and content creator Rebecca Lemke and podcast host Nikki Gamer, who explains why Catholic Relief Services work is as necessary today as 75 years ago.
The need is only going up. You have 65 million people who are displaced around the world. You have countries in sub-Saharan Africa facing prolonged drought due to climate change, and millions of people just not getting enough food to eat.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. The devastation of World War II, the tens of thousands of people left homeless, hungry, and traumatized, was the impetus for several humanitarian aid agencies. Catholic Relief Services was one. Since then, CRS has expanded to provide emergency aid in more than 90 countries. This year, the agency, which is headquartered in Baltimore, commemorates its 75th year of service with the launch of a podcast that delves into CRS's unlikely history. Nikki Gamer, media relations manager for CRS, has traveled extensively to the Middle East, Europe, and Central Asia. She hosts the new podcast and is here to talk about it. Welcome to On the Record, Nikki.
Thank you, Sheila.
Good to have you here. Also with us is Rebecca Lemke, a content producer, writer, and editor at Catholic Relief Services. She's the project lead for the 75th anniversary commemoration. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks for having us.
So first, explain what Catholic Relief Services provides in a nutshell.
Sure. So your listeners are probably familiar with Catholic Charities USA. And that, I use that as a reference point because while Catholic Charities does poverty alleviation, lifts people out of poverty here in the U.S., CRS lifts people out of poverty all over the rest of the world. And as you said in your intro, we are in over 100, I think we're in 112 countries now.
112 countries.
Yeah, 112 countries. And we provide everything from emergency response. So after the hurricanes last fall, Maria and Irma, while Catholic Charities, they were helping people in Puerto Rico. CRS was helping people outside of the U.S. territories, and that's with food and water. And we also do longer-term development, so we do education programming and agriculture programming and health programming. And all of that really is for the most vulnerable people all over the world.
And when you talk about programming, you're talking about training and what?
Yeah. So, for instance, with education, we provide, we work through the local church. That's another piece. And the reason we are able to be in so many countries is because the Catholic Church is in so many countries. And so we partner with these, it's called Caritas, Caritas Internationales. That is the international social services arm of the Catholic Church. And so in each of these countries, there's a Caritas. And so in Jordan, we were doing education programming, so we were helping Caritas in Jordan train teachers, and we were providing funding so that, you know, the hundreds of Syrian, thousands of Syrian refugees could get education. So it really varies from country to country.
And have the headquarters for Catholic Relief Services always been in Baltimore?
They have not. CRS was founded in 1943, but its name was not always CRS. It was also originally called War Relief Services. We were located actually in the Empire State Building in New York City. That's where our very first office was. And then in the close to 1989, we moved to Baltimore. And Baltimore was desirable for many reasons. First, the very first U.S. archdiocese is in Baltimore, of course. In addition, Baltimore had the space that CRS needed at the time. We were expanding, and we needed to be closer. So we were located on Fayette Street originally, and in 2007, we moved to our current headquarters right by Lexington Market.
The monthly podcast series for the 75th anniversary started in January. Talk about the format and the stories you've discovered so far.
Every month for the next year, we're going to go through a decade of CRS's history. So we started in the 1940s, right in the aftermath of World War II, when you had hundreds of thousands of refugees who needed support. And now we're going into today, where we're still working in Europe and in the Middle East with refugees. And it's just such a cool bookend to how we started and how and where we ended up. And the very first podcast, we interviewed a man named Ulik Plawy, who is a Polish refugee. And his family was forced by the Soviets into a gulag in Siberia. And he was actually born in that gulag. And we're talking about these people faced starvation. They faced brutal abuse. So when we were interviewing him, what struck me was just he's now 77. He lives in Southern California. And you can hear in the emotion of his voice how deeply impactful the family ended up being in the gulag for 2 years. So he was very young. And he can still remember just the sentiment, what that was like. How we came to know Ulik is because he was helped by CRS's very first project in this place called Santa Rosa, Mexico.
How did he get from the gulag to Santa Rosa, Mexico?
It was a very long, difficult journey. So basically, he moved from the gulag, where he then had to go to Iran. And in Iran, actually, they lost his father. He ended up contracting a disease, and he ended up dying. So his mother and his sister and him, They were taken to Santa Rosa, Mexico, in different ways, by boat and by train. And he got to Santa Rosa, Mexico, and the way that he described it to us was just amazing. He just used such colorful language about the people that greeted him there. And he tells a lot of different stories. And one of the best stories he told was talking about eating onions. And basically, he said onions kept me alive, and onions contributed to my health.
He ate onions as if they were apples. The doctor advised that, right?
Yes, yes. He has such a will to survive. He saw people dying. And even as a young child, he knew that he should do what people were telling him to do. And he survived.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the 75th anniversary of the nonprofit Catholic Relief Services with media relations manager Nikki Gamer and Rebecca Lemke, content producer at Catholic Relief Services. The program that Ulik Plawy experienced with Catholic Relief Services was what?
It was a refugee program. And it was actually CRS's first refugee program. And 75 years later, we're still doing refugee work. It's just different places with different people. But I think one thing that's very interesting about CRS is, even though 75 years seems like a long time, I think it all still comes down to people and helping people and trying to make the world a little bit better place.
The February episode of the podcast, which introduces this longtime connection CRS has with the Roskub Foundation, which is also celebrating its 75th anniversary. Tell us about the connection between the Roskub Foundation and CRS.
There was a man named John J. Roskub, and he was a Catholic boy from Ohio, and he ended up moving to New York City, and he started as Pierre DuPont's personal assistant. He then was so successful that he rose into a New York power broker. Okay, and he was a tycoon of his day in the 40s. And he is the guy, John J. Roskub, responsible for building the Empire State Building. And he also, you can compare it to the Bill Gates of his day, felt that giving back was very important. And so he actually, he lent office space to CRS free of cost in the 40s. And so that's when the partnership really was established. And you know, they've been supporting our programming up until today. And, you know, they've gone and seen CRS projects, and they're really important to the work that we do.
That office space you mentioned in the Empire State Building is the focus of the second chapter of your podcast. An airplane flew into it.
Yeah. I mean, would you even know that? I mean, from the 1940s?
My reference point was that 9/11 was the first time a plane had flown into a New York skyscraper, but this was actually not the case.
Right. Yeah. It was a Saturday morning in 1945. It was extremely foggy. There was some air traffic talk going back and forth about where he could go, and the building was right in front of him, and he crashed. But the day that he crashed into the building, it was a Saturday, but there were CRS people working because they were actually there to help refugees like Jülich.
And about half the CRS staff was killed.
11
yeah, 11 people were killed.
We have sound, if you listen to the podcast, of this woman, Therese Fortier-Willig, who was in her 20s. And she was in the office at that time. And a small group of survivors, they cordoned off into this other room so they weren't engulfed by the flames. She thought she was going to die. So she remembers taking her rings off and throwing them out the window because she thought, well, maybe, you know, I'll be dead. Someone else could find these and use them. So I just imagine it, just the trauma of that.
How do you find these stories?
I'll be honest, some of it's just luck. We have an incredible group of people who have been with CRS for a very long time, and they know some of these characters, and they might find bits and pieces of these stories. But then when we start digging, we keep finding more things. We had no idea about Therese Willig before we started this podcast, and we were able to actually find sound of her talking.
I think from NPR. I think from the public radio archives.
Yeah. And talking about this, same with pictures and maps of the time, we're finding things that the stories just have not been told, and they're fascinating.
The March podcast drops Thursday. You've teased that the episode is about Monsignor Kaiser and his excellent adventure across sub-Saharan Africa in a VW bus. Tell us about that.
So there was this Monsignor, and he basically, every time anybody talks about him, they just say he got the job done. And we were starting programming in Africa at this time. And the legend goes that he took a VW bus and he had this grand dream of driving this bus across Africa to feed and help people. Now, it didn't quite go as planned, but he was responsible for starting a lot of the programs in Africa and actually building a lot of the partnerships we have in Africa today.
What are some of the other highlights you're looking forward to in this podcast?
Gosh, there's so many. We're going to do a whole hour, I think, in May on the Catholic women and their impact on CRS history, like Mother Teresa. She actually came to CRS at one point, and our current CEO, Sean Callahan, worked with her in India. We're going to talk about the Noodle Priest, the Noodle Priest, Father Roman Yellow.
Yes, so Father Roman Yellow also was a little bit of a celebrity, even in the United States. So he was working while Monsignor Kaiser was working in Africa. Father Roman Yellow was working in Asia, and he was doing a lot of the same things in Asia. But his whole claim to fame was that he saw that people needed to be fed, and he showed people how to make noodles to give them the nutrition they needed. But he was a little bit of a celebrity in that he was very charismatic, and he ended up being on a lot of the U.S. shows to tell the truth and What's My Line.
The game shows.
And we actually found his appearances. So you'll hear all those appearances in that podcast.
I mean, who would have thought all these characters, they're coming out of these stories. And you wouldn't think when you're going to document an organization's history that you would find such interesting characters.
And you probably hear all kinds of characters that come into here and talk to you. But I would just say these characters are what makes CRS CRS. A lot of them, yes, are religious, but they really add to the flavor of CRS and just the appreciation of diversity and culture.
What do you want people to take away from this podcast?
Just because there's the word Catholic in our name, it does not mean that we just serve Catholics or Christians. We actually serve people of all different faiths. And the common denominator is that we serve people who are vulnerable, no matter who they are.
We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back after the break, we're going to talk more about some of the things that CRS does in different parts of the world. We're talking with Catholic Relief Services Media Relations Manager Nikki Gamer and Rebecca Lemke, content producer, about Catholic Relief Services' 75th anniversary. I'm Sheila Cast. Quick break. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Catholic Relief Service's 75th anniversary and the new podcast that highlights the long history of the organization. We're talking with Nikki Gamer, host of the podcast and CRS Media Relations Manager, and content producer Rebecca Lemke. As part of their work with CRS, both have traveled extensively to visit its programs. You both traveled to India to visit a project to stop child migration and labor trafficking. Tell us what this is and who you met with there.
This is difficult programming. It's difficult because there's a little bit of a privacy issue involved with some of the survivors and the people that we work with. Also, there's some sensitivity issues with some of the partners that we work with in the field around this area. The very first place we were, we went and saw sex trafficking survivors, and these were young women. And I think Nikki and I could both agree that we were stunned by their stories, but I was even more stunned by their strength and resilience. We talked with young women who were sold into slavery by strangers.
One by her mother.
Yeah.
Sold by her mother.
Yeah. Sold by her mother.
To a brothel.
At age five. And actually right now she is working with our partner. She's now in her mid-20s, and she's working with our partner to help other young girls. So we saw a lot of programming there that what they work with the girls on, getting them back to have a somewhat normal life.
Skills training and vocational training and
life skills. I mean, some of these girls have not been with families for a very long time.
And is CRS involved in extracting them from that life, or
CRS is more works more in like the protection and life skills and training of women. They are not involved in the actual extraction from the dangerous situation, but our partners are, and we work with them on the next steps.
You've also met with refugees in Iraq and Lebanon. Tell us about the families you met and the programs that CRS provides in those countries.
The Syrian war is now in the sixth or seventh year, and you know, hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced, and most of them have been displaced into countries that are adjacent to Syria, so in Jordan and Lebanon. And I think one in every four people in Lebanon is a Syrian refugee. And so the governments there are stressed to the max. So what CRS does is we work to provide support services for refugees, whether that's helping them get housing. We do work with children there, so child protection activities. And for Iraq, the work is very similar. We work in northern Iraq, Iraqi Kurdistan, which really is its own autonomous region. So it's where everyone fled when ISIS invaded and took over places like Mosul. And you still have tens of thousands of people still displaced by ISIS, even though slowly, slowly they're returning because the government is pushing ISIS out. And so kids, you think they have been displaced for 3 years. They're not in school. So we work with our partners there to create classrooms and educational activities so that they can get some sense of normalcy. And when we talk about the Syrian war and even, you know, the displacement that's happened in Iraq, we say that we're trying to prevent a lost generation of children. You know, these are kids who will turn into adults someday, and you want to equip them now for when they are able to go back to their countries.
One thing that I'd like to mention is you hear the word Syrian refugee, and I'm not sure you really know what to think of that person. But when I met Syrian refugees for the very first time when I was in Lebanon, who I saw was a mother, I saw a daughter, I saw a family, I saw teachers. They're just like you and me. They were pushed from their homes, but I think they all they want is what's best for their families. I was in Lebanon actually to work on a virtual reality video. It's one of CRS's very first virtual reality videos. And we were there to document Syrian refugees with disabilities. So we highlighted some work that we do in Lebanon with children who have disabilities. So they're actually facing a couple of they're harmed twice. They're refugees in another country, and then they're disabled. And we were on a roof in Beirut, and this is where this family lives, an open-air roof, a mother and five children and a father. And two of those five children had disabilities. And all I saw, we spent several days there with them, recording them, seeing what kind of services that the children got for their specific disability. And all I kept seeing over and over again was just the care and love of that family for their children. And I think sometimes it's just important to realize that you hear news headlines, but you don't really get to see the humanity behind the news headline.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Media Relations Manager Nikki Gamer and Rebecca Lemke, content producer at Catholic Relief Services. CRS is also looking at how the changing environment affects vulnerable populations. Tell me a bit about that.
One of the most important things in the Catholic faith is actually taking care of our creation. So taking care of what we already have here. Some people might call it responding to climate change. For the year of 2016, I spent the entire year documenting the effects of climate change in all parts of the world. So I actually was able to go to Zimbabwe, and I met very many people there who had lost all their crops. They were in the middle of a long drought. They had nothing to eat. Because they had nothing to eat, children who would normally be going to school were not going to school because they were trying to earn money for their families. So I was able to visit a project where CRS was working with families to grow crops that could grow in the kind of climate that was working, that was happening right at that moment. So it was a changing environment. It was not a static environment. You had to be on the ground responding. And in addition to helping those families with the crops, they were helping the children make sure they go to school and making sure that they had a healthy meal.
How is Catholic Relief Services funded?
A large part of our funding comes from the U.S. government. I think it varies year to year, but about 60%. And then we get funding from private donors and foundations. But a lot of it is coming from governments, including the U.S.
How are the changes in the budget proposals of the Trump administration and regulatory changes, how is any of that affecting CRS?
Sure. So as you probably know, the federal budget, it's not like you have a faucet and once you turn it off, the water stops. It actually takes, you know, time. The federal budget works ahead and then it takes time until you feel the effects on the programming. So the administration proposed deep cuts to foreign aid in last fiscal year. And because Congress holds the purse strings and, you know, we advocated against that, and we were working on Capitol Hill to make sure that Congress pushed back against those cuts, and luckily they did. The administration, again, just released a budget that gutted foreign aid by a third, and that's why I'm glad we're here to talk to your listeners, because your listeners can write their members of Congress and push them to support funding U.S. foreign aid. I mean, you have the need is only going up. You have 65 million people who are displaced around the world. You have countries in sub-Saharan Africa facing prolonged drought due to climate change, and millions of people just not getting enough food to eat. So the United States is the biggest donor in absolute dollars to foreign aid. But if you look at it as a percentage of our budget, we give less than 1%. So it's like pennies on the dollar. And we're behind like 22 other developed countries when it comes to the percentage of foreign aid that we give in relation to our budget.
You said there's a lag. Are you already feeling an impact of a change in federal policies?
Like I said, so Congress pushed back on the deep cuts that the administration wanted. But the cycle of continuing resolutions, what I do know, and I'm not a policy expert, what I do know is that it is causing, it is disruptive to the long-term development planning, because you can't plan for the long term if you don't know where your money is going to come from a year from now. So as far as I know, it's affecting us to the extent that there isn't a clear idea of what might happen a year from now or 2 years from now.
I'm grateful to you both for telling us where things stand for CRS as it marks its 75th anniversary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nikki Gamer is media manager for the nonprofit Catholic Relief Services. She hosts the podcast that probes some of CRS's 75-year history. Rebecca Lemke is a content producer, writer, and editor at CRS. We have a link to the Catholic Relief Services podcast and the programs they provide at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.